In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. And the darkness has not, or as many translations say, cannot overcome it. Hal Luckock is a former preaching professor at Yale Divinity School, and he tells a story about going to spend Christmas at his son's in New York City. He asked his son what his two daughters wanted for Christmas, and he said, "Well, Dad, they've been talking a lot about a globe lately. That's something they'd really like. I think that'd be a perfect gift. Get them a globe." So he went around the city and shopped at a number of stores, finally found what he felt was the perfect globe, just the right size, geographically current. He bought it, wrapped it up, took it home, put it under the tree, and couldn't wait for that moment Christmas morning when they would open the gift. So the moment arrived, the girls ripped off the wrapping paper, pulled the globe out of the box, examined it, and then looked at him and said, "Oh, thanks, Grandpa, that's nice." Set it down and went on to other gifts. He tried to hide his disappointment, but later in the day when they went to play with other gifts, he said to his son, "What's up with that? You said they wanted a globe." And his son said, "Dad, I'm sorry, I do not know. I really thought they did." So that night when the girls were getting ready to go to bed, their grandpa stepped into the room. He said, "Girls, how did you like my present today? Please be honest. I want you to have something you really want." So they looked at each other and they said, "Well, Grandpa, we really wanted a globe with a light in it." "Oh," said Grandpa. So the next day, he takes the globe, goes back to the store, exchanges it for one with the light in it. And as he's walking back to the house, he's thinking to himself, "Well, of course they want a globe with a light in it. Who wants a dark world?" And then he realized, that's the Christmas message. Jesus Christ came into the world to bring light. We don't have to live in darkness. No one should be satisfied with a world without a light in it. That is the Christmas message in the gospel according to John. It's Luke's gospel that gives us the sentimental Christmas. Luke tells us about Mary and Joseph, a baby in a manger, shepherds and angels. Most of our Christmas carols and our nativity sets come from Luke. But it's John who says that what happened at Christmas is nothing less than the tilting of a great cosmic battle. The forces of darkness and everything that would threaten this world have been overcome at Christmas. Listen again to John's Christmas story. In him was life, and that life was the light of every person. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. No wise men, no innkeeper. There's not even any sheep in John's story. Just a simple truth that in this baby born in Bethlehem, darkness has been put under arrest. Now, John doesn't go into detail about the darkness. He feels that his readers can picture what darkness looks like. Now, Matthew's gospel, different story. He doesn't leave anything to assumption. Matthew reminds us about Herod, the king who was insanely jealous. When he heard from the wise men that a king had been born in his province, what did he do? He ordered the instant execution of every male child under 2 years old. Matthew wants us to not forget what darkness looks like. Matthew wants to say, we cannot escape that reality in our world. But we like to, don't we? Sometimes it's just nice to get away from darkness, isn't it? I mean, at Christmas time of all times, We like to have a little break from darkness and take a mini vacation from it, just not read the newspaper or turn on the news on television, and go to some effort to create an image of life that we say, if it was just like this all the time, I would be okay. But it's not that easy. Darkness is a reality in our world, and John reminds us of darkness, but it's not to be a killjoy in the middle of the celebration. It's to give us hope. John reminds us of darkness to affirm with courage and boldness a very important truth. Darkness has been overcome. We've been talking a lot about courage this month of December. We've talked about all the characters in the Christmas story in Luke. Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, they all heard the same message from the angels. Do not be afraid. Christmas requires courage. You know why it requires courage? It takes a lot of courage to believe that light really does dispel darkness. It's easy not to. It's easy to believe that when we have been offended, we've got a right to offend back. That somehow that's going to bring the peace we want. We see it played out on a global scale every year when nations go to war against nation, believing that retribution is going to bring about right. But darkness can't overcome darkness. Only light can do that. Only peace can bring about peace. Maybe think about it in your personal life. Have you ever been really offended by somebody? Have you been wounded by another person? And everything in you tells you, if you can get even with that person, you're going to be well again. But it doesn't come about. Why? Because only light can dispel darkness, and it takes courage to not only believe it, but then to do the second important courageous act, and that is to choose it. To choose when we're faced with darkness that we're going to choose light. I've asked a family in our church to share with us tonight. Ask them if they would once again to come up to the pulpit behind me. Because this family, members of St. Luke's, have displayed that kind of courage to choose light in a very dark time. Recently, they were the victims of a violent home invasion that lasted almost 2 hours on the early morning of October the 29th. And what they're going to share with us tonight is about how they have chosen light in the aftermath of this event.
We are the Potenzas. I'm Carl, this is my wife Eileen, and these are our two daughters, Allison and Rachel. We are not here tonight to share just about what happened to us on October 29th, but what has happened in our lives since. We're here to talk about faith, family, friends, and to stand as first-person witness to the power of God's love. I'd like you to hear from each of us, Eileen first, then Allison and Rachel. It is our hope that these words will give you hope. Hope that the light that came into the world over 2,000 years ago has overcome the darkness, and that our sharing will help pay back some of the kindness, care, and love that many of you have extended to us. We've been overwhelmed by the outpouring of love and care and concern from so many in this community. In experiencing the worst in people, we've also experienced the best. Before I turn it over to Eileen, I want to say that I have discovered a whole new appreciation for my wife of 30 years this coming summer. I didn't think I could find new ways to love her more. But from the first day following this incident, she's been asking us, how can we make this a positive? She challenges us to make every decision out of kindness, compassion, and helpfulness. We all take our lead from her and have made it a family mission to make this all about meaning, purpose, and helping others.
We were all surprised at how hard our friends and even people we didn't know were taking the news. People would come to visit us in the hospital or in my mother's home, looking sad and frightened. One of our counselors talked about how we're all victims. And that's made a lot of sense to us. We feel bad about that and would like to help relieve that pain for as many people as possible. That's another reason we wanted to speak tonight. We've found that once we've had a chance to visit, talk, joke, and tell stories with people, they seem relieved. I do want to tell or share one story from that night. I'm not sure why, but I got into a conversation with one of the young guys. I started asking him about his life. He told me about his high school experiences, where he grew up. He told me that his own father was killed and his mother abandoned him when he was very young. I told him that I teach little 3, 4, and 5-year-old children and that I was so sorry that that happened to him when he was just a little boy. It must have been terrible for him. It would be hard for any child. But I also told him that that did not mean that he had to choose that kind of life for himself. He could choose a different path, and he could be so much happier. I said that I wished that I could help him change his life around. He stopped, looked at me, and said, "You want to help me after all of this?" I told him that I would love to if I could. I said, "You can take all my things, all of our money. They really don't mean anything. Just don't hurt my family." He promised that he wouldn't, and he asked me to look at him. Up until that time, we had been told over and over not to look at these guys, so that surprised me. I looked directly into his eyes for a few seconds. I don't know why he asked me to do that, but I suspect that he had never had anyone talk to him in a kind way or show any desire to help him in a long time. I knew that I had reached him, and that gives me a sense of comfort and hope. I've been asked how I've gotten through this situation. First, throughout the night, we all had a strange sense of calm and peace. None of us felt fear. We just expected it would be over soon and that it would be okay. Second, we've been tremendously comforted by so much support from the nurses at St. Vincent's, from the police department, our family, friends who've been there for us, and even people we don't know reaching out. You've all inspired us in ways we couldn't imagine. That's given me the ability and the strength to comfort others. Ellie.
I have always been scared of the dark. I used to make Rachel here sleep with me in my bed and then pretend it was because I thought she needed protection. Now my fear has been realized, but I'm here today and I'm going to be fine. I have an incredible family, and through all of this, I have seen how incredible our friends and community can be. We've been overwhelmed by all the love and support. This community came together after this event in a way that is almost beyond belief. The outpouring of cards, donations, food, love, and support has been amazing. We can't thank you all enough. But thinking about how wonderful our community has been really made me think about the other side. There are people out there who don't have what we have. They're born into a different world than us, and there's absolutely no reason for that except luck of the draw. They are placed in a situation, just like some of these boys were, where it is easier to get support from a gang than a family member or a friend. I'm sure almost every person here can think of someone who supported them and loved them while they were growing up, but there are so many people who never get that from anyone. It sounds like a few of the boys there did not have any family or support system. It is horrible for anyone to have to live like that. And although they made bad choices in their lives, there are so many kids out there who are in their situations but could still be influenced one way or another. So that's what I've taken away from this experience. I want to do something. I want to reach out to people who don't have the same opportunities that I have and help them. I want to be their mentor and their friend and help them understand that they can choose to be good people. I want to inspire other people to help too. There's no doubt that this experience has changed me, but I refuse to let those changes be anything but for the better. I made it through this, and although that certainly wouldn't have been possible without my friends, family, and community, I'm going to be okay. I have chosen to find the help to heal and not to let the worst in people make me worse. Most importantly, what I want now is to change the world piece by piece. This is what's helping me find my way through this time. I want to end with a quote from a great professor of history, Albus Dumbledore, from the Harry Potter series. It is our choices that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities.
As the member of the family who was not home that morning, my reaction was a little bit different. My experience with all of this is probably more similar to how some of you may feel. I could not believe that such terrible acts could occur to people who did not deserve this pain. On my drive home from school that morning, I started going through a range of many emotions. I was furious, terrified, overwhelmed, and even hopeless. These negative reactions were rushing through me faster than I could process. I was so scared to see how the rest of our lives would play out, as such a tragedy would have to shape us forever. However, what kept me from staying in such a negative place was seeing my family's reaction. I walked into my mom's hospital room first, escorted by what seemed like about 10 great family friends who were so concerned for all of us. I saw my mom laughing and entertaining a room full of people completely in her element. When I later saw Allison, she was exactly the same. On complete opposite ends of the hospital, they were each entertaining everyone around, with even the hospital staff enjoying their presence. I realized then that everything was not going to just be okay, but good. Yes, there are some bad things in this world, but the positive always outweighs the negative. We've seen so much support and love from not only our close friends, but complete strangers. All I can feel now is inspired. Just like my sister, I want to help, and I encourage everyone else to help as well. I do not believe that those who did this act grew up thinking that they wanted to hurt others. I feel that one way to bring light to this darkness is to help those less fortunate than us find hope. To those who still have fear in their hearts, I would like to say that personally, the best therapy for me has been watching my family help others. Remember that the good can always outweigh the bad if you let it. In the wise words of the Beatles, when it rains and shines, it's just a state of mind.
In closing, let me say that perhaps the greatest discovery that we've made in this experience is the power of faith. Eileen, Allie, and I have all said that we felt an amazing sense of calm during that whole experience. We felt God was with us in a strange way, and we weren't afraid. We believe that was God's presence helping us in a way that we had never felt before.
And another way God is comforting us is through a desire to find ways to help others and make a difference. Believe me, this is not a denial of pain. It's truly how we feel God is helping heal us. That's why we are persistent in seeking ways to let this experience have meaning and purpose. Sitting in our house the other day, Rob asked me what this Christmas means to me. I think I can answer that best by showing you two pictures. The first one was taken 3 days after the incident. It's a picture of my mom and her grandkids surrounding her. Notice the smiles and a little of the beautiful fall foliage in the background. I especially noticed those colors. They just seemed so vibrant at the end of October this year. It's almost as if God was also saying, "It's okay, you're good." The second picture is the four of us. It was inspired by a friend who thought we could use it as a thank you card showing people that have cared for us so much that we're okay. It also doubled as our Christmas card, but I love the caption, "Together we have it all." Some may think that this may be a hard Christmas for us. We understand that, but we're here tonight to say that the Potenzas are okay. We're not overtaken by darkness. This Christmas is about valuing what money can't buy. This Christmas, as you can tell, is about our desire to keep on living, loving, and finding meaning in life. The power of Christ is giving us the power to do that. When we hold up a candle in a moment, for us, it means we choose to believe that light overcomes darkness. Thank you for letting us share with you on this special night, and Merry Christmas.
They are the real deal. And when I've gone by to visit them and found myself coming away from visits better, feeling better inside than when I went, I had to admit about the third visit, guys, I have no reason to be over here. I just need to get away from the office and I want to sit in your living room with you for a while. They just have that. And the reason I wanted them to share tonight is that you might find encouragement when you're facing darkness and realize I've got a choice. I've got a choice to choose light. Maybe you are being tempted strongly by darkness tonight. You're being tempted to let it pull you down and make your life a little less. You have a choice. You can say on this Christmas Eve, I am not alone. I've got light with me. I can choose that. Maybe your darkness is choices that you've made before you cannot undo and you wish you could. They have had a permanent impact on your life, but you still have a choice tonight to accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That's why we have Christmas. God came into the world to give forgiveness and a new chance of life, even for the consequences that we face. God gives us the grace to face them, and God can take bad things and work them into something redemptive and powerful for the good of others. And maybe tonight you say, I need to accept your forgiveness, Lord, and keep going and let you use my life. Maybe there's been darkness caused to you by others, and you need to choose tonight not to fight darkness with darkness anymore, to choose light. Maybe life itself has darkened your world, and you're finding yourself let the darkness creep a hold of you a bit more each day, where joy is getting lost and hope is fading fast. And tonight you say, no more. No more. I've got a choice and I'm going to choose light. And I'm going to pray for the help of a living Savior to come into my life and help me to find hope and meaning. I'm going to choose it. Who wants to live in a dark world? It should be unsatisfactory for anybody to live in a world without light in it. A little boy had trouble sleeping in the dark at night. He'd call for his daddy every night to come lie down with him. He did once again one evening. His dad came into the room, talked to him for a while, sighed and said, okay, let me lie down with you. Turned out the light, got in bed. After a few moments, he felt his son's hand rubbing his face, first his lips, and then his nose, and then his eyeballs, and then he felt his son's little hands pull his face over toward his son's face. He said, son, what are you doing? He said, I can't see you, Daddy, but I can go to sleep if I know your face is toward me. Christmas means we have a God who came into the darkness of our world, and his face is toward you. Gracious God, on this Christmas Eve, we thank you that you have overcome the darkness of our world, and darkness may still have its day, but we have a choice how to face it. We choose light, we choose love, we choose redemption and grace and hope. And whenever we face those dark periods in our lives, may we remember this night. May we lift up our light. In the name of that baby King Jesus. Amen.